In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website.
As you know, I'd love to say this, parenting is never about what it's about. And so much of life is like that too. You look at a sports team, they're on a losing streak. They're sucking. The coach is like, what's going on? The fans are complaining and they say, we got to practice more. This could be a little league team or it could be a professional, and let's push them. Let's grind them. On the surface, that's what it looks like. It could be some type of effort here or this player here, or the coach needs to make these plays. But really what's going on is something under the surface. What's really going on is that the players don't like each other. Players don't trust each other. And you can never see that from sitting on the sidelines watching as a fan. You'd have to be really involved. So much of our lives as parents and what's happening in our families has to do with trust, everybody. If you're really thriving in your relationships with maybe your friends or your partner or your spouse, there's just so much love. Well, what's really going on is that you're celebrating a lot of trust together. And if your home life is really hard and you got this freaking kid is driving you bonkers, oh my gosh, it's like, why do they keep acting this way? They keep doing these same stupid things. Well, probably what's going on is that you've got a trust issue here. There's a broken trust going on. If you think of some of your favorite brands, think of one of your favorite companies or brands right now. What research tells us is that one of the most popular brands in the world is Costco. Now, I love Costco for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons why you love Costco is because you can really trust them. You can trust to kind of deliver, like they have like a routines in like these aisles that they have, but also people love Costco. The same reason why people love Nordstrom's in the 80s and 90s is that they have this amazing return policy. You might have even seen like something hilarious, like on an Instagram meme, some crazy lady tried to like return a couch 2 years later at Costco. And I think she probably did, because that's how Costco is. Like, you can trust that you can go and return things on there. They're not going to be weird about it. It's like they have such a liberal policy. If you think about some of the brands that drive you the bonkers the most, you might think of dinner like your AT&T, because you don't trust them. You're going to go there and you're going to talk to someone who can't even speak English. You're going to be on hold forever. And it's like, what is happening here? If you think about even like a relative's house that you really do not enjoy visiting, right? Maybe on the holidays. On the surface, it's because of this. It's because of the drinking or because of the political talk or because of the X or the Y. But really what's going on is there's just a broken trust there. You can't trust them to be hospitable or be a good guest or just provide like a really, really pleasant, you know, holiday environment. So think about your children for a second, because on the surface, you see X, Y, and Z. But I just want to invite you, one of the best ways to solve problems in our homes is how we think about them. How we think about them. Because now go back to think about a sports team, right? Think about a sports team. What would you do? How would you solve it if, you know, the players don't trust each other? If they don't like each other? How would you go about that? Would you punish them? Would you make them run lines? Would you just give them some lecture about trust? On the surface, you might see screen addiction in your home. One of your kids is really addicted to screens. On the surface, you might see and make excuses for why this child or teenager is abusing a screen. But really what's going on is that, you know, you have a mistrust of a relationship between you and that child around this powerful device. On the surface, you see somebody snapping at you, a child, maybe a hormonal tween girl, or a teenager is snapping at you. And on the surface, you say, oh, kids will be kids. But what's really going on here is, you know, you don't really trust this kid to really care for your feelings, to be a good roommate. You don't trust them to manage their emotions well and to speak with you kindly. You know, on the surface, you see sibling issues. But really what's going on is that there's something broken in this bond between the two siblings. It's like they don't trust each other to care for each other, to honor each other's boundaries, to treat each other well. On the surface, you got a lazy bones kid who doesn't do well with chores. People call me, my kid's lazy. How do I get him to do chores? It's not, chores are never about chores. Chores are never, ever about chores. They're always about so many more things like teamwork, like selflessness, like punctuality, like care, like love, like responsibility. On the surface, you avoid your child because maybe they're annoying or they're afraid of them or they are going to cuss at you or snap at you or, you know, they're just obnoxious. And you consciously or subconsciously are finding yourself now avoiding conflict with this child. And on the surface, this is why. But really what's going on is that now you actually do not trust yourself around this child or you don't trust this child. And now this is the symptom of a lack of trust is your avoidance. The same reason why we yell. People yell because they don't feel heard. They don't trust that you can just say one thing to your child and it's going to go well. This is why yellers often get a bad rap. One of the ways I help people to, you know, stop yelling is that I help them not only with all the internal stuff they need to do. That's like, you know, basic. You can Google that. But you know what? If your family members was better at listening to you and better at hearing you, then you wouldn't have to yell, right? It's like yellers are demonized sometimes, but maybe they live with a whole family who sucks listening. And then yellers are like, oh, I'm bad at yelling. So here's four action steps that I want you to put into place. And if you're here with me live and I can see your face on my VIP membership, how's it going? I can't wait to do some role playing with you. And I'm going to role play some of these things out for you here today. And I want to hear your stories and spend some time with you. Here's four things. And I really hope you like these four things. And I hope you do them. I really hope you do them. Okay, number one is to really talk to yourself. And remember, parents are teachers and every home is a school. Parents are teachers. So if you have a situation in a relationship with a child and there's a lack of trust in this child, well, view it like a teacher would. And just own that too. And just be real with yourself that you are really struggling in teaching trust in your home. You are struggling and even maybe failing as a teacher. Like if I was your principal, I would pull you aside and say, what the crap's going on? What is going on between you and the students or you and this one student? You are their teacher. Our kids are never going to take a class in the psychology of trust, how to build it, how to break it, how to repair it. Our kids are never going to take class in the most important lessons of life. So I am speaking to the teachers right now. So for better or worse, you're already teaching your kids about trust, the lack of trust, and how to handle it when trust is broken and trust is kept. Now think this for a second. Let's say we're watching a movie. It's like a sports movie. Like a movie that came to mind for me was like Remember the Titans. I know that's going back days, but you know, the kind of the general plot for a sports movie is kind of predictable, right? It's like this and then and hardships and they come together and then they win at the end and everyone cries. Like that's a great movie. But like, how would you do it? Like, how would you build trust in a sports team? What you would probably do is like some lovey-dovey type stuff. You know, they would take the players on a retreat, like do like some service projects together. They would have them talking about their feelings. They would do like inspirational, lovey-dovey, mushy stuff. The same thing, you know, what's a great genre of movie is the in-law movie. I just think I saw one with Andy Garcia on Netflix recently. I can't remember the name. You can maybe type it in the group chat. It's such a great movie, like genre, where you get these two clashing cultures come between. I think Andy Garcia's family is like he's a really well-respected architect. He's like thinks he's super famous and has money, but really what's going on is that him and his relationship with his wife is not doing well. So now here comes the daughter coming home with her new boyfriend who seems like he's coming from a not as rich environment, and Andy Garcia is puffing himself how great he is, and then it all just comes crashing down for him. Why? Well, because his daughter is marrying the son, and then he meets the son's parents, and they are like mega wealthy, like owning a sports franchise wealthy. And he's handling himself in a very selfish way. And now his wife is like threatening to leave him. He's like, look, this has been going on for too long. The whole world doesn't revolve around you. And so how would you fix this problem? By punishing someone? You know, how would you, is that what's going to happen in this like rom-com type movie? How do you build trust in an in-law situation. And this is the same way you build trust with a teenager situation or a nine-year-old situation. It's got to be this lovey-dovey stuff, talking about trust, viewing it in a different way, realizing this is an issue of the heart. So action step number two, to give you some more specifics on what do you mean by lovey-dovey stuff, is here's something practical right here, is make trust like an everyday word in your home. So everybody has common words that they use in their home. If you're into sports, you use terms like this: practice. When's practice? When's the game? When's uniform? Wash your uniform. Right? If you're really into academics, you talk a lot about homework. If you're a horse family, then you talk about the barn or horses or about X, Y, and Z. Everybody has different words. So I'm going to give you some examples on how to just make trust an everyday word in your home, especially if you've got children ages 3 through 6. If you can start this at a young age, by the time your kids are 10, they'll know more about trust than many adults do. Action step number three is very, 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 very important. Is show your humanity around kept trust and broken trust. Here's what it means, right? If you're training a dog, which I've been doing for like a year and a half, it's not fun. I don't really like it. I had to Google all the stupid stuff about training dogs. And one thing I learned about dogs training is like, I guess you got to give them treats and stuff to like let them know they did a good job. But this is all normal human psychology too. Whether you're talking about business management or teachers, or whether you're talking about the Gottman Institute, when it comes to their magic ratio of 5 to 1, which I talk a lot about. It's about pointing out and celebrating wins. And so if you look at your child right now, think of your most challenging child. And some of you, you're dealing with resentment and contentment, and it's going to be hard for you to answer this question. If the question is, you know, tell me some things you really love about your child or things they're doing well in. If you're really in a dark spot in your mind, you might have a hard time thinking about this. But the reality is that child you're thinking of is doing a lot of wonderful things with their life, and they're keeping trust in a lot of ways. So here's a few examples. Hey, I just want to say thanks for putting your dish in the corner. Okay. You're welcome. Yeah, it feels good that I can trust you. Like after you are done, you just, you know, put your dish in the sink. Thank you. Okay, mom. Hey, sweetie, thanks for thanks for this car ride. Okay, why? Well, because you know your siblings were, you know, doing their thing and acting out kind of, and you just kind of kept your cool. And that just really means a lot to me. It really feels good that I can trust you to kind of like not, you know, join the circus when they're kind of acting like bozos. So, you know, thank you, son, for doing that. Okay, dad, you're welcome. You know, hey, I just want to say thank you. Like, you know, when I see you doing your chore, it really just feels good that I can trust you to do this. Dad, I just cleaned up the dog poop. What are you talking about? Right. It's just dog poop, but it's so much more than dog poop. Like, it feels good that I have a partner, like with the dog. And like that I can trust you, that I have never remind you one time. It just feels good. Like I want to have a trusting relationship with you. You know, I want you to be able to trust me. Okay. Well, yeah. Like, do you trust me? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Like, I want you to be able to trust me that I love you, that I'm going to manage my temper around you. I'm going to, you know, put food on the table. And so I've been thinking more about how we can, you know, grow trust in our relationships. See, this might sound awkward in the beginning if you don't have a culture of talking about trust. But remember, this is what we're doing here. Parents are teachers in every home is a school. So celebrate wins and enjoy the trust and then show your humanity when trust is broken. What does that mean? It means not saying stupid stuff like, you know, I can't trust you. Here we go again. Yep. On the screen again. Are you going to do something with your weekend? Look at this dirty toilet. How many times? All right. If you don't clean this toilet in the next 20 minutes, seriously, I'm taking that phone away for a week. Versus, you know, can I chat with you for a minute? Yeah. What? Hey, what's going on with you in the toilet? I don't know. How can I clean it later? I'm just busy. Okay. Yeah, I get that. But like, I mean, cleaning toilet and having my kids do their chores, you know, with excellence, it means a lot to me. I know, Dad. Right. But no, it's like, I want to be able to trust you that when I you know, and you have your share of the chores, that they get done at the time we've agreed upon. I know, Dad, right? And that kind of hurts. What do you mean it hurts? It's just a toilet, Dad. Chill out. No, it's not just a toilet. It's not. Like, we are going to go see your aunt later today. I'm making breakfast downstairs. And it's like how we keep this house clean. It means a lot to me. It's how I feel loved and respected. It's how my kids do the chores. And I'm not weird by that. And I want to talk to you about how we can build trust around these chores, because I find myself just nagging you and reminding you. I know. It's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying for me too. Right? So see what you have going on here is not about the dirty toilet. It's about really building trust in them. And then action step number four is make a scene when trust is broken. Now you saw there over a dirty toilet, right? I don't even know. Do your kids ever clean the toilet? Is that your chores? But for me growing up as a kid, that was definitely one of my chores. I got to clean the toilet. I think it was every week or every other week. That's one of the major downsides of like having a housekeeper, if you have one, is it really robs your kids what science has already proven a gazillion times over through research, that having your kids do regular chores is one of the most effective and profound things you can do to predict their future success. And I won't get into that. You can Google that research. It's very, very fascinating. It's just such a form of selflessness and teamwork and trust and love is daily chores. And if your kids are struggling to do their chores, they're doing it with a salty attitude, well, then take some of these tools here today and let's chat about it together. And so make a scene. So the Gottmans talk about how, you know, it's just about this attachment, about trust. And what happens is that, you know, we're constantly going through our marriages and our family life and disconnection has happened. One of my favorite quotes of all time is that of a marriage book. I think it's called Hold Me Tight by Dr. Sue Johnson. And there's a little line in there no one ever talks about. I should probably have it directly quoted. It says something like this, like, you know, marriage is this constant experience of disconnecting and then reconnecting later. And that should be like parenting too. But see, what's happening is that in so many of our homes, if there's do's and don'ts for trust, here is what a lot of parents do. And if you're listening to my voice, then you might shake your head. Oh, yeah, I do that, Sean. I'm one of that. Is that trust is broken on an issue and it's not resolved. It's not repaired. And we just move on. And then we accept it. And then one day turns into a week, into a month or a year or more. And you just accept that you have a mistrusting relationship with a child that came out of your body, or you put in someone else's body, you adopt them out of a body, and that's not good. And so on the surface, you see these things, but what we're going to do here is we're going to go to the heart, and I'm going to do everything I can to give you the tools you need to build trust and love and connection and be the best parent you can be. Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of the same painful patterns in your parenting or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.